We continue our learning of the Nishmas Dovid ben Menachem Shem Nicham Yaakov ben Pidchos Eliyahu and Mechores Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav. Hamakash Berkarsulav. This is a Kohen, a Mum, is where the knees are bent outward. This is where his bow legged, Uvakrivosav, or his knock-kneed. Ubal Pikova Ha'ikel. Mishnah will define these. What is Ezu Ikel, says the Mishnah? Kol Shemakif Parsosav. Ve'ein Arkuvosav Noshko Zo. This is an ikel, someone who brings his feet together and the knees don't touch each other. So when he sits and puts his feet together, his knees won't touch each other. The knees actually bent outward. That's considered a mum. And that's what we call ikel. Pika, what's pika? That's also on this list. Mishnah now defines. Yotzah migidulav. Pika is, or bal pika, is a Kohen who has a large piece of flesh that is growing from his thumb or from his big toe. And that would be true if the reason why he has this big piece of flesh is because the bone is bent out of position. That's why this piece of flesh sticks out. So we took over, we have bow-legged, we have knock-kneed, we have ikel, which is where the knees bend out when he's sitting, when the feet are together. We have where the big toe or the thumb has a very large piece of flesh, what we call pika. And then the Mishnah says, akevo yotze la'acharav, or his heel protrudes backward. If his leg, instead of the tibia connects the ankle, then connects with the back of the foot, the rear part of the foot. But here, he has the same amount of space in front of his leg, of his tibia, than the back of the tibia, the back of the ankle, which means that the lower leg comes down into the middle of his foot, not to the backside of his foot. That's what it means, akevo yotze la'achorav, where the heel sticks out significantly behind his leg. Parasaso rechava kishalavas. Well, let's say the sole of his foot, is wide like a goose. It means the sole of his foot is very thin, and it's more like a square. The length is not longer than the width. So that's also a mum. Etzbaosov merkavos zo alzo okulutos. Let's say the fingers are merkavos. They lie on top of one another. The fingers or the toes are curling on top of one another. Or klutos, which means that there is like a webbed hand. There's a piece of skin that joins the fingers together. But then the Mishnah says ad haperakasher. But if it's only until the joint, the two fingers that are joined together, are only joined together to the middle joint, which is the one right before the hand, so the Kohen is fine. Which means if at the knuckle, so that joint, if you go to the joint that's right above that, so if the hands are there's a piece of skin keeping them together, that's going to be okay. It's beyond that joint that it's going to be a problem. Limato min haperek v'chatacha kashim. The Kohen had his fingers joined together with this flap of skin, and it went all the way up to the front, all the way up to where the nails are. It's kosher if he cuts through this. If he's able to separate the fingers, at least up till the next joint, so the way we said it would be kosher, that would be fine. That's what it means. Lamata min haper, goes all the way beyond that joint. But v'chatacha, he cut it, so kosher. Hoysa bo yiseres. Let's say he had an extra finger, an extra digit. V'chatacha, he amputated that. If that finger that he amputated had a bone in it, so the Kohen is considered puzzle, even though he doesn't have it anymore, he amputated it because he's missing a limb. He had a limb that was there, and the limb is considered a limb because it has had a bone. And now that he removed it, this is considered a mum. Vimlav, but that which he amputated doesn't have a bone. So removing that doesn't make the Kohen unfit for Avoda. And therefore, kosher, he would still be kosher then. Yasser biyadov uvaraglov shesh vashesh estrim va'arba. If he has additional digits on his hands and feet, six for each, all equaling 24. Now, where do you get this strange language from? So this is based on Shmuel Beis Perek Chaf Aleph. There it says that a person named Elchanan ben Yareh killed the brother of Goliath, And then the next pasuk says, "Vati od milchama begas." There was another milchama against Gas. Vahi ish madon. There was a man of madon, of like midos, very, very tall. And then it describes that his etzbaos, his fingers and toes were 6 each, 24 altogether. So that's why we use this language. But really what it means is we're speaking about a Kohen who has extra digits. Kohen has an extra finger or toe, or is an extra digit on each of his hands and feet. So altogether they're going to equal 24, so it's based on that. So that according to, Rabbi Yehuda says that's fine, that's acceptable. And the Chachamim Poslim, they say it's going to be puzzle. So what's the basis of Malachal? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, even if he has just one extra finger or toe, it's one thing if all of the, everything looks the same, everything has six, so maybe that's, at least it's symmetrical. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's kosher, even if he has only one extra finger or toe. Chachamim say the Kohen is going to be unfit even if all of the four limbs have an extra digit. And everything, and there's symmetry. That's going to be a problem. What's this? So what's this pasuk teaching us? So he just says, well, I tell you, this pasuk is telling you how strong this person was. Look at that. Not only was he tall, but each limb had an extra digit. So it obviously the Torah is telling you is praising him for the fact that he had all of this. So Rabbi holds to have extra fingers, extra toes, that's not considered a problem. So you see that from the pasuk. The Chachamim hold, no, they're not telling you that this is normal. The pasuk is telling you that, I don't know, this is, he looked really, really strange, this person. He may have been tall and strong, and some of Jewish people had to be afraid of, but this is not considered normal. So that's the basis of the machlokas. Now, we learned before that if there was an extra digit and it was amputated, so we said that, if it had a bone in it, so it's going to be a problem, even though it doesn't have it anymore. So according to the Chachamim, a Kohen is born with an extra finger or an extra toe. So he's disqualified from doing the avoda whether he still has that extra finger or he doesn't have that extra finger. Only if that extra finger lacked any bone will we say that, now that you removed it, so now he's going to be kosher. Then the Mishnah says, "Hasholit b'shtei adav, Rebbe posel v'chachamim machshir." Someone who's ambidextrous, he really literally rules with two hands. Uses the left hand as much as he uses the right hand. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi says he's going to be posel because we assume that it's a. The Bar Tanura says, "Disavar kichishusa is yalda levi amin." You know why he's able to use his left hand as strong as the right one? Because the right hand is really weaker. The right hand has become weak. So that's why he uses the left hand equally with the right, and therefore that's considered a psul, a disqualification among. Why, says the Baratranu, on the contrary, his right hand is very strong, but his left hand even became stronger than normal. And therefore, that's not considered a mum. And we follow the Chacham, and that's not considered a mum. The fact that a Kohen is, though, this is ambidextrous, though, but what if he's left-handed? So that is certainly going to be considered umam, and that's based on the pasuk in Vayikra, Yudalid v'tavala kohen es etzba'o hayimanis. That teaches us that all avoda has to be performed with the right hand. And therefore, that implies that if he's not right-handed, he's not naturally right-handed, so that's going to be problematic. That's also true even if he's left-footed. It means when he starts walking, he always lifts his left foot first, because that's based on the pasuk la'amod lisharis. It's standing and doing service. He has to stand like most people normally do. Then the Mishnah says hakushi. Kushi is a person who has very dark complexion. Vagichor, red-skinned. Va'alafkon, an albino, very white-skinned. Vahakipeach, or someone who's very lanky, very, very tall. And tall and very, very thin. It's something that's also unattractive to that extent. So that's, or according to some, means that his frame is not able to support his height, and therefore he's very bent over. Or Vahananas, Cohen is a dwarf. Vahacheresh, or he's deaf, whether this is the classic deaf-mute or this is just deaf. Vahashota, now we usually assume someone who's mentally deranged, but here it means that someone who is who does things senselessly. The Gemara in Chagiga says on Daf Dalon Alf Hamaabin Kol Mashenosnim. You give him something, he loses it. So this is someone who who is not the official shota, but nonetheless does things that that are senseless. That's also considered a psul. V'hashikor, one who's drunk. Now, it obviously doesn't mean someone who's drunk. Someone who's drunk is pasul to the avoda simply because yain shechar al teish. We know that from Parsha Shmini. So this, when we speak about someone who's hashikor, this is someone who may be intoxicated by something else, maybe eating something or drinking a certain excessive amount of milk or having honey or figs from certain places could make a person somewhat drunk. That also is a psul. Ubali negoyim tahorim, those who have negoyim that are considered tahor. Now we know nega, we generally, that's a term we use to describe tsaras, the negat tsaras. So here the Torah is telling us a person can have a shade of white that would not make him tummy. And nonetheless, this would be considered a psul when it comes to a kohen. What if it's real tsaras? So if it's real tsaras, so says the Bar Tanura, demon to garm to name, where it's nega that makes you tummy, lo tzorech lemem. I don't need a mishnah to tell me that a kohen can't do avoda. Da afilu achnisas azara chayiv kares. Just walking through the azara makes you chayiv kares if you have tsaras. So forget about doing the avoda when you have this type of mum. But you could have a nega. Let's say it's a white that actually is a tummy white. So the Torah tells us if you have a white tumah of tsaras, but it now spreads on the whole body. The Torah says, sounds counterintuitive, but that the Torah says that now we assume that you're going to be tahor. That may be true when it comes to the laws of tsaras, but it wouldn't be true here when it comes to the kohen. And that, therefore, the Bar Tanura says, kigon bohak, you have this white discoloration, vikulu hafach lavan, the whole thing turned white. So there, that's bali negoyim tahorim at the same time, because he's afflicted with this discoloration, he's going to be pasul to the avodah. And the Mishnah says, psulin ba'adam uksherim bebehema. The whole list, this is not just the tzaras. This is kohen who have afflicted with any of these blemishes are disqualified to do the avoda, but these blemishes would not be a problematic for an animal. And we had a whole list of this entire perek. There is an exception, the marach ashech we spoke about, the gibein we spoke about in previous mishnayos, those would apply to animals as well, but everything else we have on this list would not be a problem when it comes to an animal. He says a shota, an animal that's mentally deficient, is also not a choice. We shouldn't choose that as a behema, and therefore it should not be, b'dieved it would be acceptable, but l'chatchila we shouldn't use that either. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af bali dildulim psulim ba'adam ukshir b'behema. Another example of a mum when it comes to a human being, a kohen, but not, wouldn't be a problem when it comes to an animal. Pieces of flesh that are dangling from the body. This would disqualify a kohen according to Rabbi Elazar, but not disqualify an animal. Perek Zayin Mishnah Zayin, now Elu Ksherim Ba'adam Psulim Behema. The following are kosher for a human being, for a Kohen. It would not disqualify him, but they do disqualify an animal. What are they? So we should know a lot of these already. Osov Espino is where you have the parent and the child, so you can't shech them on the same day. But that wouldn't be your problem when it comes to Kohanim, which means if you have a father and a son, Kohanim, or we're doing the Avoda on the same day or same time, that's not going to disqualify the Avoda. Utrefa, a Kohen, and they had one of the Simane Trefa that we mentioned in the Chulin in the third Perek, in Perek Elu Trefos. That Kohen is Kashal Avoda, because that's not a mum that is exposed, it's not revealed, you can't see that. Yet an animal that has one of those simanei trefa is not only a trefa, but is possible to be brought on the mizbeach as the carbon. The otzei dofen, we know an animal that's not born derech harechem, an animal that's born via cesarean section is going to be a problem. That is possible for avoda. But a kohen who is born through C-section is kosher to do avoda. There the Torah says, shor ochesef aways ki yivaleid. So there, ki yivaleid has to be born in a regular way, but that's the shor chesev oeis kivole. That's only comes to an animal, but a kohen who's born via C-section, it's not a problem at all for him to do the avoda. Vishenevda bahen avera, vishehemis es ha'adam. Now, we discussed this already when it came to the animals. Nevda ben Aver, that's an animal that was a partner with the human being in bestiality. So that animal is unfit for the Mizbeah. That's based on the Pasuk, ki mashchasam bahem mumbam lo yiratzu lachem. And this is, we mentioned that, of course, this is only where there's only one witness or there are no Edim at all. But if we know, or let's say the owner gives testimony, but if we have two Edim to testify, then the animal's supposed to be killed, so then it's Asur Bahana automatically. So we wouldn't need a Mishnah to teach us that. Or Shehemis is Adam, same thing. Animal killed a person. So that's also, that becomes a Shor HaNiskal. It's supposed to get Skila for killing a person. If you add two witnesses, so it becomes Asur Bahana from the moment that it's convicted. So obviously, you're speaking on a case where the owner said something, or only one witness said something. So then that's what the Mishnah is telling us. It should cannot be used as a korban. So that's all when it comes to an animal. Apparently, Mishnah is saying that if nevda bahen avera, when it comes to a kohen, bestiality, or hey, Mr. Sumner killed a person, so then that kohen is not puzzled to do the avodah. And based on that, the Tosfos says there are additions that omit this statement as well completely, and that's because it's possible to say that a kohen also becomes disqualified from doing the avoda if he's guilty of any of these things, of bestiality or of murder. Take, for example, we know that a kohen who killed someone, even accidentally, in b'shogeg, cannot say birkas kohenim. So if you can't say birkas kohenim, obviously you can't do the avoda. And others claim, no, not at all. Birkas kohenim is stretching your hands out. And that's only a din derabbanan anyway. And he can't stretch his hands out because his hands are full of blood. But that doesn't mean that would have anything to do with the avoda. That would not affect the avoda. Then there's a further discussion. The ein kategor nasa sanegor. The prosecutor cannot become the defender. So if he is using those hands, stretching those hands out, and giving a bracha to the people, so that cannot be done if he has committed murder, even b'shogeg. But that shouldn't have anything to do with avoda. Just because he committed murder doesn't mean that he can't do avoda. And others maintain the gersha that we have, that these would not disqualify a kohen. Then the Mishnah says, Hanose nashim ba'aver apostle. Kohen who marries women who are forbidden to him is possible to the avoda. Let's say he married the Torah lists, a grusha. You're not allowed to marry a divorcee, a zona. What's a zona? Different definitions. One definition of a zona is a woman who is intimate with a non-Jew or is guilty of any intimacy that's punishable by kares. Chalala is a woman who was involved in any relations which are forbidden to a kohen. So she's the daughter of a kohen who married a grusha, or she is the woman herself who's the grusha becomes a chalala. So in these cases, this kohen cannot perform the avoda. Ad sheyadir hanoya, until this kohen makes a pronouncement that he takes a neder, I'm not going to get any benefit from these women who are also to me, I'm no longer going to benefit. The Baratuni here says, the oved af al pisha dying lo girish, even if he didn't divorce them just yet, mutalavod achar shenadar shelo yerim yemenu. If he makes this pronouncement, he takes a vow, he's not going to get hanah from her anymore, vihi mi ache yigarish, so then he can serve actually this point, but there's a qualification of this. Vusheidur al das rabim. He had the type of neder who takes is what we call a neder al das rabim, which is dependent on the wishes of the public. The Beis Din says we are give you a neder, and it's based on our rules. So that is that condition. Will disallow the kohen from being matir that neder in some way. That is ein lo hatara elo devar mitzvah. Baratuna explains you can't do hataras nedarim on a neder that was taken al das rabin, and therefore the leka lemechash shema yelech etzal chacham v'yomar dilitzorach devar mitzvah hu shoel sheatilos nero. Therefore, we don't have to worry that he's going to a chacham and say and do hataras nedarim and say, oh well, I'm asking for hatara for the purposes of a mitzvah. We're not afraid of that at all. This is done al das rabim. The Beis Din is involved, and therefore, from that moment that he makes that pronouncement, takes that neder, he's able then to do the avodah once again, even though he had been living with zona, grusha, chalala, and has yet to divorce them. Then the Mishnah says, "Hamitame lemesim pasul achi kabel alav." Shalo yeh mitam and amesim. Kohen should not be mitam and mes, obviously. Lenefesh lo yitam abamav. But he's able to resume his avoda when he takes this vow. He takes this pledge. He's mekabel upon himself. Now, this is not, says the Bar Tanura, it's not a neder. Hachasagi le bekabel. It's enough to make this acceptance, to make this pledge. V'lo madrinon le kamo gabe nosei nashim bavera. And we don't require a vow, a real neder, when it came to marrying these women in order for him to resume avoda. Why? Mishum dahasam yitro tokfo. Over there, his yetzahara is taken. Takes over him. Therefore, we have to be more strict and give him a neder. That's neder al das rabim, which is you can't be matir. But hachagabi tuma, when it comes to be mitame lemeis and yitzotokva, it's not about the yitzahara hilcha the kabbalah greda sagile. Therefore, it's sufficient for him just to be mekabel upon himself that he's no longer mitame lemeisim, and that is sufficient, and he can resume avoda.